You seen these college games? I'll talk about Michigan University. Michigan has this 25, 30-foot pole. And in this 30-foot pole, there's this huge flag. It's about 15 feet by 15 feet. And every time we make a touchdown, this guy grabs this huge banner flag, and he runs from one end of the end zone all the way to the other end of the end zone, waving this flag with this big M on it, this beautiful royal blue and maize M. Okay, running back and forth in the end zone with this maize. He's a champion. He's talking about Michigan. We did it. We just scored. We got into your end zone. Are we a champion of righteousness?
Welcome to the Followers of the Way podcast for November 12th, 2017. Today, Pastor Olu brings us a message called World Engines, Daniel, Qualities of a World Engine.
Do we have this big banner? We wake up in the morning, we grab it, we put it up, and we start our day. Righteousness. And I'm walking through the halls of my job, or walking around the neighborhood, walking the dog, whatever you're doing. Or you're walking cleaning the house, or you're walking working on the bills, or you're doing your schoolwork. You walk around with this banner of righteousness. When you go out to your family going out to eat, or your family having an event over, do you walk in the door? Excuse me, I gotta. All right, here we go. How y'all doing today? Banner of righteousness. When I go to the grocery store, when I go to the movies, when I interact with my neighbors, am I carrying that banner of righteousness?
Well, Pastor Olu challenges us to walk circumspectly in this world. In other words, before we make any decision, we should consider all sides of the decision and ask ourselves, does it reflect our role as world engines? Now, Pastor Olu also reminds us that we carry a banner with us at all times, so we should reflect what we believe about God. Now, he'll be reading from the book of Daniel, so grab your Bibles and follow along with us as we explore God's Word here on Followers of the Way.
We are going through the book of Daniel. We're still in the first chapter. We're looking at two things. One, the qualities of God, who God is. And at the same time, looking at that, we're also looking at what's our responsibility as world engines. And so Daniel is a great example of a world engine, someone who God snatched up out of comfort, put him in a kingdom that was not his own, and how he, in that kingdom of heathens and pagans and people who were totally against God, how he was able to stand and not only stand, but be effective and be a good ambassador for the kingdom of God. And so we're going to look at that and look at things to apply to our lives. Remember, the problem with the children of Israel, Judah, was the fact there was no distinction. We talked about that. They looked the same. They worshiped the same. They had the same faith as the other people. And they treated poor, the outcasts, the people who were traveling through the nation, they treated them terribly. And because of that, God said, I've had enough. And so he sent Nebuchadnezzar. We looked at it a couple of weeks ago. It said the Lord gave the king into the hand. And the Lord sent his servant Nebuchadnezzar there to capture Judah. We talked about that. And we talked about as us in the kingdom of here, being from the kingdom of God, that we have to make sure that there is a distinction between how we live, how we act, and the rest of the world. We talked about God being sovereign, how being supreme in knowing, supreme in power, and absolutely free to do whatever he wants to, whenever he wants to do it. That his word says that his will always come to be. And so we learned that God is supremely powerful, he's supremely knowledgeable, and he's absolutely free, or he has complete universal authority. And we looked at some verses to support that. Well, Nebuchadnezzar came down. He was wiping up nations. He beat Assyria. Egypt came up because Egypt and Assyria had this connection. He beat down Egypt. And in the midst of that, he took over Judah. And one of the things that these Babylonians did, and when you read Daniel, you'll see Babylonians and Chaldeans at the same time. They're the same group of people. Babylonians, they would start off in this place for Chaldeans, and they kind of changed the name and a lot of stuff, but they're the same people. When they came into Judah, what was one of the practices was to go and find the kings, the princes, the rich folks, the nobles, the smart people, and go and snatch up the kids, smart kids. And so they would take the smart kids from every country they capture and take them back to Babylon with them. So this is where we are in the book of Daniel. If we look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. Then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish or good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, and learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. So you got your boys, your Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Back at home at church, we used to say Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. But that's back in the day. It's always been interesting to me why we call the three by their Babylonian names, but we call Daniel by his Hebrew name. You think about it, we call him Daniel, but we call other Shadrach, Meshach. Daniel wasn't his name anymore. His name was Belteshazzar now. So I've taken it upon myself that I will not call the three Hebrew boys by their Babylonian names anymore. For the rest of my life, I will now only refer to them by their Hebrew names. Only their Hebrew names. So if someone could jot that down, I'll seal it with my royal ring, and then, thank you. So if I say Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, somebody raise your hand and said, remind me, that's not their names. Thank you. Yeah, so I got to remember those. So it's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the three Hebrew boys. What stands out to me in this portion, and I always used to think this when I was little, and now that we're talking about world engines and world machines, I'm really thinking about it. My question I ask myself, and I want you guys to think about this, would you have been chosen? Would you have been chosen by Nebuchadnezzar's people and taken back to Babylon? Now, I'm going to ignore the first one. The first one was youths, okay? So forget the youth part. During that time, Daniel and his friends and the people they grabbed were about 14 and 15 years old. So about Jaden's age. Stand up, Jaden. Let's see. Stand up for you. So we're talking, this is the age of the people that they were taking them out. This age. Turn around so everybody can see you. You want to get get everybody's face? Good. Okay. So that's Daniel. Jaden will be Daniel today. So that was the age that they walked into the house, snatched up Jaden, and took him from America back to another country. Okay? So that's what they did during that time. And so ignore the youth part. The question is, I ask myself, and I want us to think about today, would they have picked me? What are the characteristics of the chosen few? Now remember, who they were picking? They were picking people, pick up from that nation of God, Judah, and take them to a pagan nation. And so this person was going to be outside of their normal kingdom in another kingdom that went against their beliefs. So that's why I look at Daniel as being a world engine. And so the question is, would I have been chosen to be a world engine? So I want us to look at some of the qualities that Nebuchadnezzar was looking for and to see if they apply to us, because they are qualities necessary to be not just a world engine, but to be an effective world engine. You see, what Nebuchadnezzar was looking for, he was looking for people who could stand out. He was looking for people who were able to, and you see it, sit in his palace. And so he was looking for people who could actually be influential in this new nation. So what are the qualities necessary to be an effective world engine? What are the qualities necessary to be an effective ambassador? Okay, so I want us to look at that and think about it. The first one, it says, verse 4, chapter 1, youth without blemish, good appearance. So we're going to skip those two things right there. Because that's doing outside. I know not good appearance. I got a few blemishes. My knees hurt. My ankles hurt. But we'll look past those two. Well, the first one says, skillful in all wisdom. Daniel chapter 1. Skillful in all wisdom. That word skillful is translated circumspect. And you say, okay, why'd you give us a more difficult word? Circumspect means, the thing about it, circum. You think about circle, C-I-R, circle. So it has to do with around. To be circumspect or be skillful means to consider all the circumstances and all the possible consequences. So if this was a issue I had to deal with, this podium, to be circumspect or be skillful means that I'm going to look at this thing from all the angles. And I'm going to try to understand every side of this thing right here before I make that decision. That's what it means to be skillful, to be circumspect. It means to think carefully about possible risks before doing or saying something. Think carefully about risks. What could go wrong before you do something or before you say something? Another cool word, W-A-R-Y. Wary. That means to be intellectually alert, having characteristics of a quick and penetrating mind. Turn me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 19. Skillful in wisdom. We're talking about being intellectually alert. I think about alert, I think of spidey senses. That's one of the things, problems I had with the Spider-Man Homecoming movie. Spidey didn't have his spider senses. He didn't see stuff coming behind him. I didn't mean to be spoiler alert, sorry. If you haven't seen the movie yet, I apologize. My bad. But spidey senses. Spider-Man spider senses, he could be walking this way and something bad could be coming at him and he's alert. He knows even before it gets there. And so this word skillful in wisdom has the idea of being intellectually alert, having characteristics of a quick and penetrating mind. Do you have a quick mind? Is your mind quick? Or do it take you a long time to figure stuff out? Is your brain quick? My cousin used to be quick with the numbers. Like, I could never do math like 2 times 4 or 7 times 8. I was terrible at that kind of math. Now, you throw a derivative or an integral on it, the sine and cosine, and raise it to the negative e power, I got you. But you say, okay, what's 6 times 8? I'm like, 6 times 8, okay. 6 times 5 is 30. And 6 times 7, okay, 48. 6 times 8, 48. Is that right? Yeah. Okay. I had to edit that if it wasn't, but my cousin had a quick mind. He was quick like that. His mind was quick, it was penetrating. Ecclesiastes 7:19. Wisdom gives strength to the wise man more than 10 rulers in a city. Think about that. 10 rulers in a city. The Bible says that wisdom gives strength more than 10 rulers. One of the characteristics of a world engine, if you're going to be effective in this world for God, you have got to be skillful in wisdom. Nebuchadnezzar was looking for people who were skillful in wisdom. There's a word they use it in business today called risk adverse. I don't know if you heard that. That means you want to make sure you're looking out for risks. Before you make a decision, you're going to be circumspect. Before I do this, or before I open my mouth and say this, I'm going to look around. What's all the possible things that could happen if I say this? What's all the possible things that could happen if I made this decision, if I did this? In order to be a world engine, in order to be effective for God in this world, we have to be skillful in wisdom. We have to have penetrating minds. We have to have quick minds, intellectual minds. The second thing he said back in Daniel, not only did they were skillful in wisdom, but the Bible also said that they were endowed in knowledge. That's another good word. Endowed with knowledge. Endowed means possessing education. That's all it means. Endowed means possessing education, having great and intimate knowledge and skill. Turn me to Proverbs 22:29. Proverbs 22:29. Not only were the young men, and again, I'm saying, would I have gotten chosen? Not only were they skillful in wisdom, meaning they had a sharp mind. They thought about things. They looked at all angles of things before they made a decision. The Bible says that they were endowed with knowledge. Proverbs 22:29 says, do you see a man skillful in his work? Or do you see a woman skillful in her work? He or she will stand before kings, and he will not stand before obscure men. I like that. Do you see someone skillful in their work? Are you skillful in the work that you do? Am I skillful in the work that I do, the things that I do, my responsibilities? So I got a job. When I perform my job, am I skillful at it? When you do your jobs, are you skillful at it? Are you known as the person at work is, you know, everybody else kind of do whatever, but that guy or that girl, they are the ones who handle the business. Are you skillful at your responsibilities? Those things that you're responsible for, be it school, be it taking care of the family, be it whatever. Are you skillful in it? Meaning you not just don't do it, but when they talk about skills, you know, I think about, I can dribble a basketball. You see me dribble, you say, wow, Olu can dribble. But then you look at Kyrie Irving or Steph Curry or Jaden Bolden. I don't know about that. But Kyrie Irving can dribble a basketball, okay? That's somebody who can dribble a basketball. That's a skill. That's on a whole nother level. And so my question is, as a world engine, looking at myself, am I at a whole new level at the things that I do? Do I do my responsibilities? Do I do my job? Do I take care of my family? Do I take care of the church? Do I take care of myself? Do I do all those things at a whole new level, at a Kyrie level? That's the question. Because that's who Nebuchadnezzar was looking for. He was looking at those people who worked at a Kyrie level. Why? Because to be a world engine, you have to be able to be, I like the phrase, movers and shakers. God has put us here to be influential to the world. Not just to be in the world. See, anybody can dribble a basketball. But God has put us here to be at that skill level such that we don't just dribble, but we do what we do with such a skill that other people see and say, oh, what do I need to do to be like that? Or why are they so skillful in that? Or where are they getting that energy from or that skill from? And then we bring them to God. Not only were they skillful in wisdom, they were endowed in knowledge, and I like that endowed in knowledge because that has to do with intimate knowledge. So I was thinking about, actually I was thinking about Jaden, but I was thinking about all the kids who are in school right now and anybody else who's studying anything. You know, one of the qualities that the Bible says that were that Nebuchadnezzar was looking for was to have that education. And so sometimes we think of education or our learning or going to school as, oh man, we just got to do it. Do whatever I need to do to get by. Do whatever I need to do just to get it over with so I can do what I want to do. But the Bible says, do you see a man skilled in his work? And that word there in Proverbs had to do with their education. See, God has a responsibility on us to be educated. And whatever education, whatever topic, whatever subject is, we are expected to excel at the Kyrie level in that area. Because we're world engines. We're God's ambassadors. Remember who we represent. We talked about God as sovereign. We talked about him being all knowing. We talk about him being supremely knowledgeable. And so in order for me to represent him correctly, I have to be, can't be supremely knowledgeable, but I got to be some kind of knowledgeable. You know what I'm saying? And so it's imperative, it's important that I put myself in position. So whatever I'm studying, whatever I'm learning, whatever I'm doing, I want to do it at the Kyrie level. I want to do it as such a skill so that I can represent God skillful in wisdom and endowed with knowledge. The third thing it says, skillful in wisdom, endowed in knowledge, verse 4 still. It says, understanding, learning. Wow, this is again? Yes. The word there is science. That's the word there. Now, science, of course, is my favorite topic. I don't know if you know that, but it's my favorite topic. And I'm reading, the Bible says it should be all of our favorite topic, too. So, no, that's not what the Bible says. But that word there, understanding, I like that word there, and I love words. That word understanding means to separate mentally. And I was thinking about the word to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. Y'all heard that phrase before? What does it mean to go through something with a fine-tooth comb? Archaeologist. Yeah, like an archaeologist. It really means to like to really, really, really break it down or really, really look at all the details, to really go through. That's that word understanding. It has to do to separate mentally, to pick it apart, to distinguish. You see, as a world engine, as circumstances happen, as events happen, as people bring things to me, as people say, hey, Olu, you should do this, or as people say, Olu, you should think like this, my responsibility, according to the word of God, is to have understanding. That means that I just don't, what are we doing? Oh, okay. Well, everybody doing it, I'll do it. What are we doing over there? Okay. I'll just do what everybody else do. No. The Bible says that I'm supposed to have understanding, meaning I'm supposed to break it down mentally, pick it apart, pull back the leaves or pull back the sheets or pull back the layers and mentally break it down and to see, to understand, is this something I should do? Is this something I should say? Is this something I should follow? Now, this gets very practical. That's why I like this part, because it gives us the qualities that are necessary to be efficient and effective world engines, to be efficient and effective ambassadors for God. And then the last one, skillful in wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning. I like this one. And competent to stand in the king's palace. Competent to stand. That's a whole message right there. Are you competent to stand? I wish I was one of them preachers. I said, are you competent? Say competent. Competent. Turn to your neighbor and say competent. Competent. Are you competent to stand? That's not my style though, but I wish it was sometimes. Competent to stand in the king's palace. Competent is a good word. That word means to be firm. It means to not be able to be moved, to be resolute, determined in strength and character. And so the question is, how is your character? What kind of person are you? Are you a type of person that's firm? That you firm, you can stand. No matter what happens and what comes at you, you are firm. Nobody just can't come and push your character or knock your character out the way. You're firm. You're competent to stand. That means you have the effort, the energy, the force, the capacity, the vigor to stand. That's your character. You see, to be a world engine, to be an ambassador for God in this evil world, you have to be able to stand. See, when everyone else is saying you should go this way, you have to be able to be competent and say, no, I'm not moving. This is the direction I'm going in. This is the God I serve. So no matter what you say, whether you laugh or whether you joke or whether you come up with it, I'm not moving. Why? Because I'm competent to stand. So many of us, and so many of us, and I say us as the body of Christ, as Christians universal, we've lost our competence to stand. And you see us, the church has made a decision today, or this denomination has made a decision today that they're now going to accept this. Or this denomination has made a decision that they're now going to do this. Or, well, you know, it's okay. You know, old time, that's kind of old school religion didn't do that. This new school religion, now we, and I look at it and I think, where is that quality or skill to be firmly stand in your character? When people come along and say, oh man, why are you doing that, man? That's stupid. Let's go do this. No, I'm firm. I'm standing in my character. Why? Because I am a representative of the almighty, supremely powerful, supremely knowledgeable, ultimate authoritative God of the universe. And so my character is going to stand. I was watching Layla yesterday. Layla played softball, and one of her rival teams, not really a rival now, they've been beating them in the past, but one of the teams had a tournament this weekend in Mount Dora. And so the other coach asked, could Layla come to their team? Because she got skill sets. And so we said, yeah, she could come. And so Layla came to play with the team. So now she's on a team that she doesn't play with. Okay, she don't know. She knows like two of these girls. This is only her second season playing. When she walked in, she had on her old jersey. She took off her jersey. She put on the jersey of the team. And then she walked in the dugout. When the game started, and I don't know if you've been to softball games. You've been to a softball game or two? Maybe a few. They have these cheers that they do. It's some of them are just evil. some of them are okay. But Layla stood up at the beginning of the game and took over the dugout. This is not her team. She started leading the cheer. No one told her to. She just started. Give me a cheer. Give me one, quick. What is it? Yeah, thunder size. Thunder, I don't know. Some of that. Nationwide is on your side, not yours. It's violent. but she started leading these cheers, and she was the loudest one and leading and getting the girls riled up inside. And the other parents were looking like, who is that? Whose daughter? Is that your daughter? I was like, yeah, that's my daughter. Just came in the room and took over. And I thought about her character and her personality. Layla's not one to be, if everybody's doing something else, if she don't want to do that, she's not doing it. You know? And I thought about that, and I was reading this, and I'm saying, that's who I need to be. I need to be a person, and when I walk in a room, it's known that this person is this character, and that's who he is. You know, Layla's a leader on her team, and so when she came to this team, she was instantly a leader on this team just like that. Why? Because of her character, ability to stand and to continue and to be firm and to be forceful and to have that energy and give that effort. Those are the qualities that God is looking for us as World Engines. The ability to stand, competent to stand in the king's palace. Even in this foreign kingdom that Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah were. Even in this evil kingdom that they were, that was violently opposed to the kingdom of God. It wasn't like, you know, the Babylonians were Christian light or they were God light. No, they were violently opposed to that. Even in this environment, God elevated these four boys. God elevated them to positions of influence and authority. And so my question is, I'm talking to myself, talking to Olu. What are the qualities that I need so that God can elevate me to positions of authority in this world so that I can influence the world for Christ? So that I can influence the world for God. These are the qualities I need. We're supposed to be Layla in this world. And that's the thing about the body of Christ. We're not. We walk into places and we're usually the one getting joked on. We walk into places and we bring up our opinions about ideas and we're the one, oh, that's stupid, man. You supposed to wait for marriage? Huh, nobody's doing that. That's dumb. You're an idiot. You got to test the car before you drive the car. All this kind of stuff they used to say. You know? But we're supposed to walk into a room and instantly we are influencing everything. Instantly, people are looking at us. Hey, we got to make a decision. What do you think we should do? We know you know God. You represent God. And so I'm going to come to you asking you. Think about that. I mean, some of you, your family members come to you and ask questions. That's a good sign. That means they see something in you and say, you know what? We got a decision to make. I'm going to call Miami and just run something past him and see what he thinks. Because Miami is attached to the God of the universe. And as an ambassador for God, our responsibility is to do that. And so the question I ask myself, and I want you to ask you guys today, well, where are you? Would you have gotten chosen? Our instructions are to be influential in this world. That's what God saved us and kept us here for. See, God could have saved us, and as soon as I got saved, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, boom, I'm in heaven. Woo, that was fun. But it didn't happen like that. Why? Because there's a mission, there's a job for us to do here, and that is to be God's hands, God's feet, God's eyes, God's arms, God's mouth in this evil, evil world. And so in order to do that, I need to have some type of influence. I need to have some type of authority. And we talked about in Ephesians, the Bible says that God gave all authority to Jesus Christ. And I am a brother to Christ. I'm an heir with Christ. That means that I have that same authority in this world. And so I'm supposed to lead and champion righteousness. Are you a champion of righteousness? I think of myself. Do I walk around with a banner of righteousness? Think of a big, I don't know if y'all, you seen these college games? I'll talk about Michigan University. Michigan has this 25, 30-foot pole. And in this 30-foot pole, there's this huge flag. It's about 15 feet by 15 feet. And every time we make a touchdown, which we haven't done a lot of this year, but every time we make a touchdown, this guy grabs this huge banner flag and he runs from one end of the end zone, I mean, it's big, all the way to the other end of the end zone, waving this flag with this big M on it, this beautiful royal blue and maize M. Okay, running back and forth in the end zone with this maize. He's a champion. He's talking about Michigan. We did it. We just scored. We got into your end zone. Are we a champion of righteousness? Do we have this big banner? We wake up in the morning, we grab it, we put it up, and we start our day. Righteousness. And I'm walking through the halls of my job, or walking around the neighborhood, walking the dog, whatever you're doing. Or you're walking cleaning the house, or you're walking, working on the bills, or you're doing your schoolwork. You walk around with this banner of righteousness. When you go out to your family going out to eat, or your family having an event over, do you walk in the door? Excuse me, all right, here we go. How y'all doing today? The banner of righteousness. When I go to the grocery store, when I go to the movies, when I interact with my neighbors, am I carrying that banner of righteousness? See, God wants us to be influential and to lead people to Him as a world engine. And so I need to have some qualities. I need to be skillful in wisdom. Before I think, before I say something, before I make a decision, I should.
Okay. You know what? I won't call him an idiot.
So I've been circumspect. I'm going to let that slide. I'm not going to do that. Am I endowed in knowledge? When the last time you challenged yourself? When the last time you read something you didn't have to read? Yeah. When the last time you took on a new subject? Or you say, you know what? I don't know too much about that. I'm going to study that. I'm going to try to learn about that. See, that's the type of mind that God needs. When the last time you broke something down and pulled away the peelings and the layers and broke it down to its fine part? When the last time you made sure you stood and you stood firm? Those are the qualities God is looking for in world engines. And so how do we do that is the question. Well, it's not a secret. We've talked about it over and over and over again. But the first and foremost responsibility, how do I get skill? How do I get wisdom? I love the Proverbs that says, does any man need wisdom? Let him ask of God. It's that simple. The man that needs wisdom, let him ask for God. Ask of God. And the Bible says that God will give that wisdom. Think about Solomon. God came to Solomon and said, listen, I love your daddy. Your daddy was a man after my own heart, so I'm going to hook you up. Whatever you want, you tell me, I give it to you. Solomon said, listen, I want wisdom. And the Bible said God gave him wisdom. And so as world engines, guys, we got to be wise. We got to endow ourselves with knowledge and learning, and we have to be competent to stand. We find that here in the scriptures. I'm going to read a verse that I don't know. We've probably read this over 100 times. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. I love that. The sacred writings. That's the word of God. Which are able, there it is, to make you wise. You want to find wisdom? You want to have good knowledge? You want to be skillful in wisdom? You want to be endowed in knowledge and understanding and learning? The word of God is able to make you wise. For salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, so that the woman of God, so that the boy of God, so that the girl of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We need world engines. We need to be complete for every good work. And so we need the wisdom of God. So my challenge for us this week is to find some wisdom to be skillful in. Everybody got some homework. This week, before you make a decision, whether it's before I say something, before I hit my sister, before I tell my thoughts to that person, before I make a decision, I'm going to be circumspect. That's one. The other thing, I want you, everyone, to pick something they're going to endow themselves with knowledge in. Something totally new. Okay? Something you don't normally do. Not something you like. Something you don't like, preferably. So you know what? I'm going to spend 15 minutes researching something, trying to understand nothing, something I never did before. Then, I want everybody to look for an opportunity to stand. Look for an opportunity this week, just one. To stand in your character. And so somebody, it could be a family member, it could be somebody outside, wants to get you to not stand, to move, to shift, to shake, to go against the principles of the word of God, to go against the principles of what your parents raised you. Look for an opportunity to stand in that. And to, fourthly and lastly, look for opportunity to carry that banner. All right, so we got four things that we got to do this week. All right, look for opportunity to carry that banner of righteousness. And so you be that Layla in your dugout, whether your dugout is your house, your job, your family members, your neighbors. You be that leader who's carrying the banner of righteousness for others to follow. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, for how even in the first book of Daniel, God, in the book of the first chapter of Daniel, you show us very detailed, very specific and very practical the qualities that were necessary for Daniel to be successful in Babylon. And I pray, God, as we live in our modern day Babylon, here in America, here in this century that we're in, where foolishness and craziness and unrighteousness and sin is prevalent, God. I pray, God, that you will raise us to be Daniel and Mishael and Azariah and Hananiah, God. That we will have those qualities, those same qualities that those boys had, God, here in this time. Pray, God, that we will be able to stand, that we will not be affected by this world or this world's decisions or the winds of this world, God, that we will stand in our character and that we will carry the banner of righteousness so that others will follow, God. Be with us as we leave this place, God. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Followers of the Way podcast. If you like more information about Followers of the Way Church, visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/FOTW Church. Again, that's www.facebook.com/FOTW Church. We trust and hope that you've enjoyed hearing God's word and how to apply it to our lives. Our podcast is updated weekly, so remember to follow us here at Followers of the Way.